I'm Mary Engish, and our gardening expert, Charlie Nardozzi, wants to talk to you about how we can intentionally plant certain shrubs to benefit wildlife, especially the birds. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
So tell us more. What sort of shrubs attract birds and actually keep them well-fed?
Well, the native shrubs, of course, are the best ones to grow. They're less aggressive than exotic shrubs. They're more adapted to the environment. They've co-evolved with the birds, the wildlife, other plants, the soil, all of that. Some of them are really attractive, actually. And the berries on these shrubs are much better for the birds than any berries from the exotic shrubs. In fact, there's been some research that's shown the berry nutritional content on native berries versus exotic berries is different. The caloric content is the same, but the fat content is different. And an exotic berry, it's only about 2% fat. On a native berry, it's about 48% fat. So imagine you're a migrating bird or an overwintering bird. You want to bulk up and have a lot of fat. So those native berries are really important for them. The aronias are really nice. Service berries are good. The gray dogwood, I know some people think it's kind of invasive, but it actually produces berries that 100 different bird species will feed on. So it's a really a key one to have in the environment. A lot of the viburnums, the nanny berry, the black haw, and the American highbush cranberry are good ones, including the elderberry, the native elderberry. Buttonbush is a nice one, Cephalanthus. This one grows well in wet areas along a stream or a lake, and of course the winter berries. So take a look at your landscape, see where you can plant some of these shrubs, and then if you're looking to plant a lot of them, check out the Vermont Association of Conservation Districts webpage, because they list all the different conservation districts in the state and when they have their annual plant sales, which happens in the spring. And these plant sales is where you can get a lot of these different kinds of shrubs, smaller versions that are less expensive than the larger ones.
Here's a question from Amanda in Middlebury. Amanda writes, I have a dream where this bank in my yard is transformed from a place where weeds and poison ivy and vines transform into a wildflower bank feeding pollinators. The bank is too steep for any human-powered rototiller. I've tried twice. I've weed-whacked it, but then hand-weeded it and seeded it to have rainfall wash it all away. I'm almost given up, but when I walked around the yard this week in the sunshine, the dream came back. Any advice for Amanda and her steep slope?
Well, Amanda, let's make your dream come true. First of all, I would start with creeping shrubs, low-growing creeping shrubs like the creeping juniper. Some of the forsythia are low-growing, like Arnold's dwarf is a nice one, stephanandra, and grow low sumac. These are going to creep along, and they're going to root along their stems, so they're going to cover that bank, hold it so it doesn't erode away, and then give you the opportunity in between the shrubs to plant some of those wildflowers and some of the pollinator kind of plants you're talking about. Some of my favorite perennials for a slope include catmint, geranium, some of the sedges are nice, and then any of those perennials that like to spread, like bee balm, phlox, and mountain mint are all nice ones to have on a slope. Take it one step at a time. Do one section at a time. You could probably still have to weed and weed whack between some of these shrubs before they get established, but slowly you'll see that they'll move in, they'll creep in, they'll keep the weeds out, and you have a beautiful looking slope.
Excellent. Here's a question from Will in Craftsbury. Will writes, a fieldstone patio I built 15 plus years ago became overgrown with thyme, which I harvested and weed whacked, but built soil very effectively and subsumed my stones. Now all rebuilt, even added to it a bit. What plant in the spaces amongst the stones is attractive, low and slow growing, even edible if possible, and holds the dirt in a downpour?
Yes, that's a good one, Will. It's nice that you had creeping thyme in there, but as you found out, unless you cut it back every few years or so, it's eventually just going to inundate those fieldstone pavers that you have. And so you're going to have to redo the whole thing as you did. So there are some alternatives to creeping thyme that you can try. Some of the low-growing veronicas are nice, the woolly veronica and the Turkish veronica. These are low-growing. They flower in the spring, so they're attractive, and they can take some foot traffic. If your fieldstone walkway is in a shady area, the blue star creeper is a really nice one. Again, it flowers early, but also can take some traffic. If it's the fieldstone walkway is an area where you don't have a lot of traffic, it's not used that much, even some of the lamiums, a common ground cover perennial, are really nice because they have variegated leaves. They can't take a lot of traffic, but they can take some traffic and there'll be nice ones in there. But I think with any of these, you're going to have to stay on top of it every few years, just cut them back, push them back a little bit so they don't just cover over those fieldstone pavers.
Okay, if you have questions for Charlie, send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. And listen to this wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.